All right, so we're starting this podcast off. I'm John, at Californian.
I'm Jason, at Triumphed on Instagram.
So we are the founders of Mentality. So for those of you that can't see us on YouTube or Instagram, we're actually sitting in our warehouse right now. We just moved this warehouse to Arizona. Originally, it was all set up in Las Vegas, but some things happened and we had to move. But yeah, let's just get into it. So how did you start Mentality?
So I was a senior in high school, and I was trying to grow my YouTube channel. Some of you may know my YouTube channel because we got messages from that a while ago. But yeah, I realized Instagram was just very quick.
What year was this?
It's 2017.
Okay, so yeah, like 3 years ago.
When I graduated high school. And it was the summer between graduating and going to college. So that's when Mentality was started, in that summer.
What the craziest thing is, so I'm a lot older than most of you guys. I'm 30. So my generation kind of started it off with the YouTube stuff, but it really wasn't a career path. So when I went to school, I actually went to school and I was, I guess, like a research scientist. Is it wear a lab coat? Things like that. So I used to teach at a university, and it's just this lifestyle that for the younger people like Jason that are starting off, it's kind of crazy because you go from like, did you ever work a regular job?
I was about to get a regular job before Mentality started popping. I had a interview lined up with UPS.
UPS. Well, what's funny is now we're packaging tons of packages. So it's almost like, I guess you're meant to pack packages.
I mean, I was always making money on my own, though. So it was like, I never had the thought of actually long-term keeping that UPS job. So, yeah, that's when Mentality started popping.
It was just a means to an end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess one of the weirdest things is that when you start off pages like Mentality, the true intention was to never, I mean, no one really imagines. You believe that you're going to make it. You think your stuff is going to be great. But realistically, there are thousands, if not a couple hundred thousand people that start off these pages and they never really blow up, right?
I mean, when I started Instagram, I was literally doing everything what, you know, best celebrations, hurdles, posting all these highlights.
Shout out to Quinn.
And I mean, I was growing, but I just didn't see any point in doing that since everybody else was doing it. So that's when I came up with, you know, the theme for Mentality.
So what everyone traditionally did on Instagram, it's called running a theme page. So you're a food page, you're a satisfying page, you're a meme page, you're a sports highlight page, and then it breaks down even further. So if you're in sports, you could be basketball highlights, or you could be Kobe Bryant specific, LeBron James specific. So there's so many different intertwining niches within this, but what really, I guess, set Mentality apart was the messaging, because it's like, you know, there are a lot of motivational pages out there, but when they talk about things, I can't really resonate with it, right? Because they're like
cookie cutter type quotes.
Yeah, cookie cutter type quotes. They're posing with the Rolex on like a Mercedes car, and like, that's great, but I've never experienced that, right? So, like, most of us have played some type of sport, so you understand competition. And I think that's taking that competition, you know, underdog mentality, I think that's where Mentality really took off, was because they were giving you a raw message. You know, not something like, hey, work harder, someday your dreams are going to come true. It's like, if you don't work hard, you're never going to accomplish your dreams, and you're going to be a fucking loser. So that was a big difference that at least I noticed in the early days of Mentality. But I mean, what else? Like, what? Why even start a page? Why not just go to college? Why not just make a little side money? Like, what were you going to school for?
I went to college for exercise science. And at first, I thought I was going to want to be a personal trainer because I was obsessed with fitness growing up playing football. And then that's when I got into, like, when I broke my ankle, I started focusing on YouTube more. So that's when I just really started focusing more on videos and social media. I wasn't on Instagram until, I think, 2017. So I was pretty late to the game, actually.
Yeah, so a lot of our close friends, they started off, I don't know, 2015, 2014, and they're at, like, 10 million Instagram followers. And it was just a different, I think, mentality kind of took off on the third or fourth wave of Instagram growth, but it came at a good time because now it was more popular. There were story features. There was a bunch of different things, but what other questions could we possibly answer for them? Because they kind of want to know more about us, but not necessarily, they kind of know a lot about you, but what do you think that the kids would want to know?
I'm trying to remember questions from my personal.
Just pull it up. Grab your phone.
It's charging.
Oh, perfect. So I guess we'll get back to that in a second. But, one downside. So I guess one of the top questions that we get is, why do clothing, right? Why not just keep... So to make money online, you're either selling a physical product or you're selling some type of advertising, right? So... if your page gets a lot of views, you can sell ad space on your page and that's how you would make money, right? Through traffic. But mentality, we kind of chose to turn down a lot of advertising and we went to shipping physical like stuff. So our warehouse is pretty, it's okay right now, but we're already exceeding wall to wall right now. So it's something that it's just hard doing physical stuff, but I think it's worth it because it's cool to see people wearing your gear. Like, how many times have you seen people actually wear a bracelet or like a hoodie?
I've probably been noticed 4 or 5 times between LA and Phoenix.
Yeah. So let's kind of go back. We kind of jumped everywhere because you don't really have a format. So we're just kind of talking on the fly. But okay, so you're 16 years old. You break your ankle, you start doing YouTube when you're 17, like your junior, senior year, and then where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm from Waynesboro, Tennessee, tiny town, 2,000 people.
2,000 people total?
Yeah.
What's your nearest town, like closest to you?
Nearest Walmart's 30 minutes away.
Shit.
That's where Rylan would go to hang out.
Rylan is his... it's one of his friends that came from Tennessee that now kind of works for us, helping us out with fulfillment stuff. But most people try to leave their small towns. Like, what made you think you could even make it? Like, where was your college at?
I forced myself to go to a bigger college. It was either a community college or the 4-year university I went to. So I like purposely made sure that I went somewhere no one else went just so I could just experience new things.
Yeah, it's a weird, how do you feel about college now?
I'd rather be in college while doing all this, but I don't think that'd be possible, especially scaling all this right now and then traveling, doing all that. I would have probably dropped out of college eventually.
Did you even, how many semester or what year did you end up dropping out of school?
I done 2 semesters.
So like a year?
Yeah. And then I dropped out twice. So the second time I dropped out is when mentality started popping.
Wait, why'd you drop out the first time? To work at that UP? Not to work at
that. No, I just wanted to take a break during the first time when I was dropping out. Because I was 17 when I graduated. So I just felt like I had a year. I could just take off and do whatever.
Were you playing football for your school?
No, the only offers or views I had were from small colleges, like D2, D3. And it was like in like Minnesota or like New Jersey. Like I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, that's kind of, we're on the West Coast, so we like the sun, but I couldn't imagine. I don't know. I never really grew up in a small town, but I kind of understand the sentiment because you're in a place where everybody knows you and everyone knows your business. Everyone knows your mom and everyone. They talk as if they're going to go out and make it, right? And you usually see people that they disappear for a year or two, but then they ultimately end up coming back, right?
So yeah, I mean, I always knew I was going to leave. So, I mean, it's nice to come back there every now and then, but that's about it.
But is it weird to see people?
It's just weird. Place? Yeah, that's the only thing is when you go back to a small town, it's like everything's the same. No one's ever done anything else.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. Like, I grew up in the Inland Empire, Orange County area, so California. And it wasn't a small town. You're in a big city with tons of people, but it's almost like you kind of get washed away with everybody else because there are so many things going on. There are tons of people doing stuff, and you never really think, at least for me, like, I didn't think that I was going to do any type of business. So it was really strange to, I guess, even to get to this point. I mean, I've done other big businesses, but I've never done an Instagram brand. So it's kind of cool to see how well it'll take off. But it's funny because when I go out, I usually wear like a mentality hat or a mentality hoodie or something. And like people actually, they know what mentality is. Like I would tell people, I'd meet them for the first time, and we were just talking like normal, and then they would add me on Instagram, or they would ask me what I was doing, what do I do for work? And I just tell them, I live in a warehouse, I pack packages, and they're like, oh, like, that doesn't sound too cool, you know what I mean? But it's part of the grind. So, but, yeah, I mean, what else did you want to talk about to them? I mean, where is mentality at right now? Like, you don't have to say numbers-wise, but, like, in terms of the growth of mentality in the past year, how do you feel about it?
I mean, we're in that weird spot of being just kind of too big for a small warehouse, but not really big enough for a long-term warehouse. We're in the middle of that scaling phase right now. But, I mean, there's a lot of potential we haven't even touched yet.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that we're working on right now. We're kind of trying to write a book. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but a book about your mentality and how to overcome things. What else are we doing? I mean, we're expanding our... So most of the stuff that we ship out right now, they're custom-made fabric. So the shirt that I'm wearing is not through a blank house. So it's not through Gildan. It's not through some other place. They actually custom make this cotton for us. So doing all these things kind of, I remember when we first started, we just started doing like print on demand. So things were, there was no inventory. So you can kind of just sit at home, make a little bit of money. And it was cool, but we outgrew it by a lot.
And there's just very limited designs we could do doing print on demand. And the pricing wasn't obviously up to par. Yeah. Sacrificing the lots quality, of profit for, you know, not doing as much work.
But it's definitely like the quality of the print on demand, at least the ones that we tried were really bad. So if you've bought in the mentality hoodie from us, I would say...
I mean, there wasn't much complaints. People actually enjoyed how soft it was.
Yeah, so like
2017.
2017 to 2000 and middle of 2018, or actually,
it was probably almost a year, maybe.
Yeah, before we found a good manufacturer to help us make all this stuff. Because if you don't have a good partner, it's hard to scale any of this stuff because you're I remember we were in Huntington Beach and we went to 50 different screen printing places.
Oh yeah, they left me on read too. They didn't ever reply in the email. Someone at some small Huntington Beach. No, it was Irvine.
Irvine, yeah.
Some small Irvine shop just left my email on read.
And
it was probably a blessing in disguise just because we wouldn't have to work for them.
Yeah.
It took us over a year though to find an actual, you know, t-shirts and all that.
Yeah. Because we ended up, what happened? Okay, so we are looking to expand our capabilities, right? Because print on demand was not enough. We wanted to do back and front designs and sleeves and stuff on the top of the hoodie, and they were just 100% limited. So we went out and we looked for other screen printers or local places that we could use. But these guys, like, they almost, it felt like they blew us off, because I honestly wonder how many kids go up there thinking, like, hey, my clothing line is going to take off. This is my brand. It's called Cloud, and it's the best brand ever, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, they were showing us they'd done some work for some NFL player, but I think it was like Ricky Williams maybe.
Yeah.
Or some old NFL player. But, I mean, I don't think they were doing very large numbers. I'm just surprised they didn't reply to email.
Yeah, so they kind of blew us off, and like Jason was saying, like, we were kind of discouraged. We were kind of discouraged in the beginning because it was frustrating. We were growing the followers. People wanted to buy hoodies, but we couldn't find the right person to partner with because they made it so complex. So I'm glad. I mean, we probably spent 6 months trying to find somebody reliable who had good pricing, people who can ship really well, and it all kind of fell into place. And then on top of that, we went to, I guess, so I live in Las Vegas now, and Jason ended up coming out to Vegas, and we went to this trade show. It's...
Oh, yeah, that's how we find...
Yeah,
we
found
the first supplier we trusted.
Yeah,
that we enjoy the quality of.
So this was for our athletic gear, right? Because like
this was the first short sleeves and sleevelesses we came out with.
Yeah,
and shorts.
So we worked with them, and we found them at this giant trade show. It was really expensive to get in, but I think we met. If you look him up on YouTube, his name is John Santos. John Santos, he has a great YouTube, and he talks about basically how to start your own t-shirt line. So I messaged him a couple months earlier, and then they had a meetup at this trade show. So we didn't have to pay that giant fee, and we met other people who were starting off their own clothing lines. They were either screen printers themselves, or they were making their own designs, yeah, their brands. And we got in, and we walked, like, I almost want to say like 30 football fields worth at this convention. We went row to row to row to row until we found the right person. Like, something in their setup caught her eye.
I think it was a bunch of brands they were showcasing.
Yeah,
maybe it was fake or not, but that's what caught her eye. Was big brands they were showcasing on their shelves.
So usually when you go to these places, I want to say 9 times out of 10, they create fake stuff. But if you look and touch the fabric, you'd know if it was good or not. So, I mean, I was actually really scared because when we placed our first order, it was like 20,000. And right there on the trade show,
it was the biggest invoice order we paid at that time.
So they're like, yeah, it's here's the number of shorts, here's the number of shirts, you got to pay 15% down, so just PayPal me right now, $15,000. And we're like, what? Okay. And I was like, fuck it, we have to do this. It was a sign, because right before, I'm a big guy, I'm not really in great shape right now, because I've been working a lot and focusing on brand and all this other stuff, but I'm out of shape, I'm out of breath when we're at this convention, and I was like, fuck this, let's just go one more row. We have to find the supplier. There's nothing that we can do. It was meant to be. Like, we have to make use of this time. And we walked down a few other rows, and it was the last, like, 10 minutes that they were closing that we found somebody. So it was kind of cool. But, I mean, besides finding a manufacturer, we're kind of all over the place. We'll have a better format next time, but we're just speaking off the top of our head, so I hope you guys are a little understanding of this. But I mean, I guess my question would be that they would want to hear is, like, what do you think Mentality is known for? Like, what does the brand represent?
I mean, just the quotes and the persona. Throughout the quotes, each post shows. I mean, just the slogan, culture of ambition. Instead of some, you know, cheesy, another random motivational page.
Because most of them, I don't know. I'm just very turned off by this fake guru, entrepreneur, wannabe kind of pages and YouTube. Everyone's like, everyone says on YouTube, everyone posts on Instagram like, oh, it's so easy. You can be rich too. Just buy my course. Do this, do that. It's like, dude, it's way harder than that. And I'm not the kind of person to go out and pay $10,000 for a mentorship, because I really feel like those guys, they end up scamming you, right? Because 9 times out of 10, the best thing that you can do for yourself is learn it as you go, or just learn it yourself versus paying someone thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and just kind of getting ripped off. Because I think we were at a point where we're so confused, because here we have this amazing Instagram page. It was growing, but we weren't making, we didn't have a good enough product, and all these other people, they were flexing all this stuff, and we just, at least I was, like, I was confused, like, how are these guys so successful if they don't, doesn't look like they do any work? Like, where is their warehouse? Like, are they, it just didn't look like they're doing anything. And that's what ended up being true, is these guys, they ended up, they finesse people that are just so eager to learn stuff. Like, it's one thing to pay $100, $200, $300 for something, but if you're paying like these one-on-one mentorships, you're for sure getting scammed. Like, unless they have some type of proven track record. Usually they use other people's success and they attribute it to theirs. So, I mean, hopefully when Mentality is a $1 billion company, for sure we're going to release a course. But you know, like, they started from zero and, like, they're actually doing it, right? You wouldn't want to listen to somebody that hasn't done it.
I mean, people just fall for it because they don't know where to go. I never bought a course. I just joined group chats where other people had already had results. And that's where I met a bunch of people.
So that's, I mean, even before, I mean, Mentality is like, how many other businesses did you start before you even started selling one shirt on Mentality?
I mean, while I was growing Mentality, I was doing other businesses, drop shipping businesses, and one other private label brand, which done well for like the first 2 months. That was the first time I dropped out of college, was for that private label brand, done 20,000 in a month. That was like my first actual results. And then that failed, so I went back to college.
Why did it fail?
Bad product. Very bad product. And then what else?
So it did well, and then it didn't.
Just a bunch of chargebacks.
That's not good.
From a crappy product. And then that's why I'm banned from PayPal to this day. So...
So
then went back to college, then dropped out again, and then that's when Mentality started popping. So that was like the seventh business Mentality was.
Damn. No, that's kind of, so when I first started doing e-commerce, I was flipping stuff on Craigslist. So I would go, like, the stuff that Gary Vee talks about is real, because most people who are kind of, I guess, hustlers or people who are just trying to make money, that's the first thing that you try to do. You try to buy something on Craigslist that you get for cheap, and then you sell it off somewhere else. So I started doing Craigslist stuff for money. I think at one point I was selling DVDs of movies. Like, in college, before there was Uber Eats or Postmates or DoorDash, I brought pizza. I bought like 6 or 7 boxes of pizza, and during finals week, you know, usually you're in the library, you're in a study room and you don't want to leave. I went floor to floor and I started selling slices of pizza. So I was at that extreme where I didn't care how embarrassing it was. Because, I mean, at the time, I think 2007, 2008, most people thought entrepreneurs were like they're losers. People who are trying to make money and make their own business.
And then Gary Vee came along. Boom.
Yeah. But I mean, Gary Vee is like a different story. But like a lot of people were giving me shit because I was always trying to start a business. I was always trying to make money somehow. But people were just so turned off by that fact because they thought by having a business, you own a McDonald's. They think a business is like a giant corporation like Apple or, you know, things like that. And most businesses in America, though, are small businesses like mentality. So in college, I sold pizza. I would do random things for money. And then I started doing Amazon FBA. So my first month, Amazon FBA in 2011, maybe 12. I did Amazon FBA and I was selling like $70,000 worth of goods in a month. And then I started expanding and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But it sucked that I got so, even though I was doing really well. So listen to this. It's like I was doing really well in sales. I had some decent money coming through. But everybody in my life, they're telling me that I was going down the wrong route. They told me like, hey, you're this business idea, reselling stuff, it sounds okay, but we don't think you should do it. You should finish your degree and then you should go to dental school, or you should be a doctor, or you should be a scientist, like something more career driven. And it was so disheartening for me because here I was like on the cutting edge at the time, reselling, flipping stuff, doing Amazon FBA, drop shipping. And like everybody in my life told me like, hey, you're kind of a loser, man. Like, what do you mean you're selling stuff online? Like as if selling stuff online had like a bad taboo. But I mean, I listened to them for a couple years and it was probably the worst mistake of my life because it was like it derailed my momentum. So, yeah, it derailed everything because I listened to these people because I thought that they knew what was going on. Like, and these were not just random friends or people. They were like multimillionaires, successful people, but they were all career path driven. So they were doctors, dentists, lawyers, pharmacists, making millions of dollars. And they're like, dude, like, why are you busy selling like these random $10 pens if you could be like charging a client or you'd have your own office? And like, it's just a different mindset. So I kind of broke away from that into my own stuff. But I mean, did anyone ever doubt you doing this?
I mean, I had a friend tell me I couldn't sell bracelets and then told me I couldn't sell dog tags either. So that was one of them.
So it's, I don't know. Like, how did you, okay, so how do I rephrase this? Because I know the thing is, I know all the answers that he's going to say, but how do I rephrase it for the listeners? Like, why did you doubt your, like, when, okay, so you're starting your business off, your e-commerce stores or mentality, and people are like, hey, dude, you're not going to be able to sell that. That's a waste of time. Did you like have doubt, or you're like, hey, fuck these guys, I'm going to prove them wrong?
I mean, I was just looking at the competition and seeing that like the first real product I was excited about was the bracelets. Cause I just remember going through Amazon one day in like high school, looking through bracelets, and I didn't see anything I liked. So that's how I got the idea for the bracelets. So I knew that would work. But yeah, I did get a lot of people telling me it wouldn't work.
From back home or for like from the e-commerce community?
I mean,
or?
Mostly the e-commerce, like group chats I was in, telling me mentality wouldn't work. And then, yeah, like a few back home, that was it.
But do you think they, Do you think they thought the product just sucked, or do you think they didn't understand the vision?
Because clearly, I mean, they didn't understand Instagram. That was it.
Yeah, because clearly, like, lots of people underestimate the power of Instagram. I know most of you that are listening now or watching this, you're kind of in it, right? You're either in high school or you're in college, or maybe you just graduated a couple years ago, but like you're kind of in it, so you understand. But I think 4 or 5 years ago, there actually aren't a lot of, I was actually surprised because I think I asked you this one time. I asked you, are there a lot of entrepreneurs in college? And you're like, no. It's kind of confused.
I mean, from where I was going, there wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe like wannabes following Gary Vee, thinking they're running a nice little eBay dropshipping store with no sales, maybe.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's all kind of a, I mean, throughout all this stuff, it's been super hard, but I'm kind of glad. I mean, there are so many other stories that we could tell about figuring this out, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and trying to just figure it out to make it happen, you know? But anyways, some people sent us questions on, we did a poll or we did a questionnaire on our story on Instagram, and we're just going to kind of go through some questions. And maybe we'll edit it so you can kind of see what it is. But let's see. This is from Tyler Lovett on Instagram. What made you finally start a business, and what were the first steps you did to?
I mean, I always was fascinated by every day after practice, I'd watch Shark Tank when I was like 13 years old. So that, like, for some reason, I always knew I was going to make a business. I just didn't know what it was going to be. And then, yeah, that summer after graduating is when I got into e-commerce, and it just went full circle.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate. I mean, the first steps are usually to, I mean, that's his personal take on it. But if you're trying to start a business, first thing you're going to want to do is probably establish what you're going to sell, who you're going to sell it to, your audience, where are you going to sell it, and if it's actually something worthwhile to sell. So the number one issue or problems people usually have with dropshipping is that they find or they sell a bad product that doesn't have a true meaning behind it. Right?
Most people probably don't know what dropshipping is that are watching this.
Oh, dropshipping is when you just sell stuff online from merchants. Like what we're doing at Mentality is kind of, we're creating our own stuff. So that's a little bit different. Like we custom created our bracelets, how it's made, the fabric, the metal, like we're manufacturing all this stuff at a high level. But what most people do is they'll buy a pen. Like for those of you who can see me, they buy a pen for $1 and they sell it for $2. So, but yeah, it's, I guess we'll go to the next one. Tuhi Moa, and his question is, how can people get sponsored by Mentality?
I mean, we still haven't started sponsorships yet, but I think we're going to start 2021, start posting. Probably, actually, we might start with women, actually, first. Girls first at the spring drop. Just depends right now.
What would it, so it's going to start 2021 next year, so in a couple months. But what were the requirements? What are you looking for? Do they have to have followers? Do they have to, like, go down the list? I guess I'll kind of answer this while Jason thinks of some stuff, but basically you don't have to have a lot of followers. You don't have to have a lot of anything. What we're looking for is content creators. So we get hundreds, if not thousands, of messages a week. Hey, how can I get sponsored by Mentality? But your profile is on private. You have zero posts. You have,
it's just high school kids with normal pictures of their Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yeah. So basically, they're not creating content. They're not doing stuff. And they're like, hey, sponsor me. So, I mean, in a perfect world, that would work. But we're 100% looking for people. We're 100% looking for people that can go out, shoot a video, make content, fitness content, athletic content, TikTok content, any of the cool kind of content. And I mean, for sure, we'll send you a bunch of stuff to wear and you can make a video. So, next question. Okay. This question from James Parker, James.Parker44. At what point did you realize that mentality was blowing up?
I mean, that was probably when some girl I was Snapchatting said her friend wore a mentality bracelet.
No.
Oh, and then
what?
When I got noticed on Tinder.
Wait, where? And then, wait, what do you mean? Like, they just, were you wearing something mentality? Or
no, her friend was wearing some mentality bracelet. And she's shown me a Snapchat. That was like back in LA. And then like a month later, I got noticed for the first time in a gym.
What the fuck?
So that's when I started realizing it was blowing up.
That's kind of weird, actually. Do they just walk up to you and be like, hey, are you that mentality guy?
Yeah, then he, and he said he remembers seeing you. It was when we were posting on the story a lot.
Yeah, so
we were answering Q&As.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to do more stuff with us in it, but sometimes we prefer just to work in silence and just we post on the page and we kind of keep quiet. But I don't know. I'm kind of feeling better about doing a podcast. I'm kind of feeling better about being out there because I think it's important for, I guess, the brand to have a face, you know. So let's see. What's the next one? This one's from Dar Danny, DARDANI.TV. How do you deal with self-doubt? Like,
I mean,
what goes through your head when you're usually trying to start something?
I mean, I usually don't have self-doubt. That sounds kind of bad, though. But I mean, with mentality, I didn't have any doubt. I had some doubts with the dropshipping and the other businesses, though. But I was always prepared with mentality, so I knew mentality would pop. Just knowing I was growing it for a year with zero ads, growing an audience from scratch. So I guess if you're prepared, you wouldn't have self-doubt.
But what do you mean about never, like, you've never once thought you are, like, doubting yourself at anything? Like,
I mean, maybe in football when I was injured, but I mean, I mean, if you're prepared and trust yourself, you wouldn't have self-doubt.
So you heard it from Jason Hill's mouth himself. He has no self-doubt.
Maybe 1% self-doubt.
Okay, so 99, that's not bad. So a little self-doubt in there just to make sure you're on the right path. And 99, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't sure if we were ever going to do this podcast because it felt like you were, I didn't know if you wanted to do this or not.
I just try to phrase it. It's not that I was scared to talk. I just had no desire to talk.
So he's a speak less, do more action kind of guy, I guess. All right, next question. Dude, I love this guy. RZ Daniel 10. Shout out to Noti Gang. Everyone who responds within like the first minute of the post, this Daniel guy is like all over it. Every single post, he's always there. His question is, do you want to read it?
How do you see the future of mentality clothing line? Like, what new apparel dropping? I mean, definitely girls in the spring, because we do have a growing girl audience. What else?
I mean, so we should differentiate it, okay? So we have graphic tees and kind of hoodies, your traditional stuff that you would see at like in the mall or something. And then we're also trying to, I mean, mentality really is like an active, a sports page and things like that. So we're trying to do more gym fitness wear, but that's more like, I don't know, like super good fitting material or like cool shorts. So, I mean, in December, we kind of have a cool little jogger suit coming out. So I think that's something we can look forward to. I mean, other than that, we're,
I mean, just higher quality and more quantities of clothes and more variety is where it's heading.
Yeah, so we're currently expanding our warehouse. We might get another warehouse in Las Vegas, a bigger one, and we're looking to provide more just alternatives to the stuff that we're doing now. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but all our stuff is usually like black or gray or some dark stuff. We're trying to, you know, maybe do some blues or reds or orange or something in there just to kind of brighten it up. But okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, this message is for from
Elijah
Benkovic 00. Hey, how much time do you spend working on the page, the brand, everything?
I mean, I'm personally at the warehouse every day, but I mean, it's not, it's usually just depends on drop weeks. It's a lot, way more work, you know.
When I mean, we're literally here for like 17, 18 hours trying to pack all this stuff up. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy.
And then if we're not packing, we have to figure out invoices and plan out marketing for the next drop,
which has been our struggle because we're, like Jason was saying before, we're in a weird phase where we're actively growing, but the demand to do physical things is still here. Like, I mean, you used to pack packages in your mom's house, and then I used to pack packages on my kitchen table, and it was easy at the time because we only had
bracelets shipping out.
Two bracelets,
print on demand for apparel.
Yeah, we had two bracelets at the time, so you either wanted one or the other, or you wanted both, and that was easy. But now, when you go to merchandising, it's like,
okay. We went from like 5 SKUs to probably 30 or 40 SKUs in a matter of like 2 months.
So 5 products to literally 30 products.
Because each sizing is a SKU.
So like large, small, medium, extra large, we have to stock all of that. And then we have to hold it here and ship it. So yeah, but I think, I mean, what about Instagram? I mean, Instagram's kind of growing at its own pace, but we've kind of, some people actually know us more now through the text message club, which has been kind of cool. It's like a daily motivational text. Like, it's not a robot. It's literally me or Jason. And when we're going through something, like, I literally, instead of having a negative thought, I think of what could I say that's positive? And then I rephrase it, and then I send it out to everybody. And that's why it kind of goes at random times, because we're literally, at least I am, I'm like sitting in bed and something bad happened, or I'm driving and I think of something, or...
I mean, yeah, if I do that, I usually just tweet on the Twitter. Yeah.
So follow us on Twitter, MentalityOG, or text us from the text club. Let's go to the next question. This question is from 19 Riviera. What was the hardest part about getting your business started?
I mean, I think that's just different with each business. I mean, Mentality was the easiest marketing-wise because I spent an entire year growing it before doing anything with it. So, I mean, hardest part about getting business started, I mean, there's just too many variables. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
the hardest part is just actually doing it because most people are scared to do it.
Not only scared, but...
And then once they fail, they just quit immediately.
Yeah, you... A lot of times when people start something, they just quit when it stops working because they think that it's just going to magically happen. I mean, you couldn't imagine the number of DMs that we get of people that they're like, how do I do this? How do I do that? It's like, bro, just Google it, figure it out. Like, I wish that there was an easier way to answer some of your questions, but I mean, I kind of just, I'm like, hey, man, you got to, if you really want X, Y, and Z, you got to do it. But I think business-wise, for Mentality at this point, what's today's date? November
7th.
November 7th, 2020. The hardest thing for us is fulfilling and shipping all this stuff because we're growing at an alarming rate and we have no capabilities of doing it. So it takes us a lot longer and it's just hard physically doing it. the warehouse space, getting all that stuff set up. So you have to hire employees. We're lucky that he has some friends that live here, but yeah, kind of the real hard part about it is just getting started to begin with. So if you have a business idea or you have some crazy idea that you want to start, I would just try it. Like, you don't need to worry about an LLC or how you're going to make money or do any of that stuff. Just start it. Start the process. Get a piece of paper. Write down the name of your company, what you're going to sell, who you're going to sell it to, why you're selling it, your price points, who your competitors are, and what makes you different than everybody else. Start with that first, and then systematically break it down, okay? And then make action steps. So the easiest way is to make a list and kind of just go down the line. Let's see your next question. Next question is, do you have a personal Instagram account?
Do you have a personal Instagram account? Yeah, my personal Instagram account is Triumphed.
How do you spell
just
that?
The word Triumphed. TRIUMPHED.
And then mine's at Californian. I think we follow ourselves, so you can probably just click that. How do you deal with failure? When you broke your leg and it derailed your plans on becoming the best NFL player, high school player, what did you do? How did you deal with it?
I mean, I felt sorry for myself at first, but then realized.
Yeah, you're hurt.
Yeah, I mean.
Did it hurt?
I mean, it was weird. It was a weird sensation. Like, I literally, as soon as I felt my ankle give out, in my mind, I had like a vision of my ankle, like an x-ray breaking. Shit. As soon as I felt it, so I knew I was broken.
How did you break it, though? Like, what happened?
It was already loose. I was always spraining it, so it was a bad ankle already. And then I made a tackle, and it just twisted, and I felt it break. Mm.
Did they get a cart and wheel you out?
Yeah, I got golf carted out. But, I mean, yeah, I felt bad for myself at first, but then just realized that's not going to do anything to help me, so I just moved on and kept going.
Yeah, feeling sorry for yourself won't help at all. Instead of worrying what other people think, what your parents think, your friends, or, like, the downsides to something, you should probably consider the good, like, a business, right? If you're starting a business, yeah, you could fail, it could be embarrassing, you could lose money, but what if it does really well? You change or impact someone's life, you do become successful. Like, those outweigh all the negatives by far. Let's see. Let's go to the next question. Here's a question that we get all the time from Luke. Luke Mulligan. How can I stay hungry?
I mean, I'm just a naturally ambitious person, so I don't.
What does that mean? Like,
how can I stay hungry? I mean, I continuously want more, so I don't ever ask myself if I'm hungry.
So Jason's, he's a different beast, as you can see. But
LeBron James, different breed.
How can you stay hungry? When you want something bad enough, you'll keep going. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Our first drop here at the warehouse was terrible. It was really bad, especially for me. So if you guys notice, between June, July, August, and September, we kind of fell off on our million follower launch and giveaway. That's because I got coronavirus. I got coronavirus and I was actually in the hospital. I just didn't get a cough. I didn't get a sneeze. I literally couldn't breathe. So I was admitted to the hospital and they put me on a ventilator and I was out, like, completely. I don't know where I'm at. Like, it was crazy. So I was, like, gone for almost 2.5 weeks where I think you didn't even know where I was, right?
Yeah, I was about to reorder all of our inventory because all of the inventory was at your house. So that was a big pause on everything.
Yeah, it was a big pause, and I almost died. So it was one of those weird things coming back because I'm still kind of frail and a little weak. I can't really do much. Like, coronavirus really fucked me up in the worst way possible. Most people just kind of get over it, but it messed with me. So now I'm dealing with a bunch of issues. I get tired really easily. I still have a hard time breathing, but like, even though I'm dealing with all this stuff and I'm not motivated, like, we were here at the warehouse every single day shipping out packages till like the early mornings, and we get back, go to sleep, take a shower, and like literally come back. We were here for like a good week straight just shipping out packages. So you got to want it. You got to want it, Luke. If you don't, then maybe what you're chasing really isn't what you want, right? So that was all of the Instagram, but let's do a few from the text message.
How can I stop being a lazy piece of shit?
All right. So we got this. Samuel Gonzalez, how can I stop being a lazy fat piece of shit?
Just look at the mirror and just call yourself a lazy fat piece of shit and understand you don't want that. Just look at the mirror disgusted.
What does that mean, though?
It means you want some change.
Look, we all want change in our life, and sometimes you just have to, I don't know, like when I hear things like this, it's always bad because I feel like this person is, you're going through some bullshit. You can't just wait for someone to come save you. You have to like get up. You have to get out. You have to figure it out. I really wish that I didn't get coronavirus and was out for 3 months and someone just miraculously gave me a pill and was like, hey, feel better. Like, just take this. But I literally suffered the worst. It was terrible in that hospital. You just got to wake the fuck up, man. Like, there's no time to feel sorry for yourself. There's no time to, all the time that you're wasting feeling sorry for yourself, you could be doing something productive. So if you truly want change to happen, you have to take the first step. You can't let some idiot, no one's going to come save you. And you can't let some idiot like derail what you have going on. Like, no matter what they say, you have to just keep going. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I just stop being a fat piece of shit.
Yeah. So Sam, just stop. All right. This one, if you want to read this one.
What do you guys think about friends in general? I'm a high schooler. I don't have many friends. I feel like this is because my life is so different than other kids my age, and I've just experienced so much that has made me so much more mature. Does that make me antisocial or weird? Also, thank you guys for the messages every day.
All right, I'll read this one more time. Brian, from Brian Chen from the Text Message Club. What do you guys think about friends in general? I'm a high schooler. I don't have many friends. I feel like it's because my life is so much different than other kids. I just grew up and I have so much more experience and it's made me more mature. Does this make me antisocial? Does this make me weird? Long story short, it doesn't, if, okay.
I mean, long story short, you have to be weird to be successful. So I don't know if it makes you antisocial though.
I feel like you're in high school. It's awkward for everybody. Everybody who says that they don't feel any self-doubt or awkwardness in high school, like that's probably not true. They must feel something, right? But I think you're obviously caring about too much of what other people think. And I get that. You're going to school, you see them every day, but realistically, I'm like 10 years out of high school and I talk to zero people from high school. Like, that's how little your high school friends make an impact on you. Sometimes you talk to them forever and you're with them forever, but you just got to get over the fact that you're different. You know, if you're more mature, then by being more mature, you should not care what these little kids think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was probably weird as hell in high school. I mean, I was just so focused on football and making videos, so I never really went out.
So no drinking, no smoking, no partying, none of that?
I mean, I didn't smoke until college.
Mm. But basically no distractions. You're just focused on your shit, right?
I mean, I just thoroughly enjoyed what I was doing, especially with YouTube. So I was on YouTube since I was like 9 years old, so I was just always just making videos.
So, Brian, don't care. Don't care what they say, man. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day. Marlene Velasquez from the text club. What made you guys feel comfortable enough to send out messages to these people you don't even know?
All the requests we had for people, for us to make an app and telling us to make, you know, daily messages. I mean, we had the demand that people wanted it.
But on top of that, I think kind of like the previous person that asked the question, Brian, there's so many people that question whether or not it's okay to be weird or that they're not going out and partying. And like, dude, that doesn't matter, man. Like, there are some people that are just more motivated by the goal. That's like, Jason wanted to be a football player, so he was 100% focused on that. Like, I wanted to be a scientist, so I was 100% focused on that. Like, there's so many people that go through bullshit in their life and that they keep, like, so many people deal with bullshit, but they think that it's not, like, it's normal. Like, everyone goes through family stuff. Everyone is uncomfortable, but you just have to be comfortable within yourself. And once you do that, you kind of, everything just falls into place. Like, the fact that Jason's so confident with his dreams and goals, like, it, I've talked shit to Jason, his friends talk shit to him, like, just joking around, like, he's not fazed by it. Neither am I. Like, I'm not fazed at someone saying something about me because I'm so sure of myself, like, in this moment. So when we send out these messages, like, I actually think that's why mentality resonates with a lot of people, because we're not sending you some bullshit quote, right? We're sending you something that we truly believe. Like, I really believe in 99.9% of the stuff we say. Like, that's why we send it out, is because it's real and it's authentic. David Perez, another text club. How do you deal with high level anxiety when people make fun of you? They don't believe in you. They don't believe in you for wanting to achieve your goal.
I never received anxiety from people not believing in me.
Why?
I mean, I just viewed it as funny and motivating.
So your whole mentality is to prove them wrong.
I mean, yeah, I was just always motivated and ambitious.
So, again, like, when people have, most of the time, this is not all the time, but most of the time when people feel anxiety and they're unsure of themselves, it's because
they're overthinking.
You're overthinking, or you truly know deep down inside you're not doing enough. When I see kids message us and they're like, hey, my coach won't put me in, I'm the best player on my team, I'm like, wait, how are you the best player on your team if your coach won't put you in? Like, there's a disconnect. So you feel this anxiety because I truly believe that you're not doing enough and you're not confident enough to then, like, do it. So you give off this bad anxiety feeling or vibe, and people are like, you know, like, imagine if you walked up to, you told your parents, like, hey, I'm going to be a billionaire. Your mom and dad, they kind of look over at you and they're like, you're going to be a billionaire, but you're sitting at home and you're not, like, doing anything. I don't believe in you. Like, that is different than someone saying, like, you're on the right path, you're doing all the stuff, you're grinding, you're working out every day, and you're like, I'm going to go to the NBA, I'm going to go to the NFL. And you're showing progression, and then they tell you, then they try to make fun of you, and then they try to shit on your dreams. That's also different, right? that's when you could be like Jason, be like, hey, fuck you. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I'm on this. His last name, Gates. Yeah. I'm on a good path, but all right. Next question. Let's see. Cortland Dunlap, what's the best advice you can give to young entrepreneurs? I'm 16. I just opened up my business, and I love all the advice I can get.
I mean, you're probably going to fail is the first thing you should know. And surround yourself with other people. Especially, I mean, if you can surround yourself with successful people that have already gotten results, that would help. And follow other people on Instagram, you know, that are successful or doing what you want to do.
So don't. When you start your business off, usually everyone's first business, it sucks. It sucks because you spend more time on your product and then you don't do enough marketing. Or you spend so much on marketing and you don't grow your product. Like, that's something that you're going to have to juggle personally. And then you're just going to have to go step by step. Like, it's not a race, but so going back to my scientist brain from working in a research lab, you have to set your business up like an experiment, right? You don't know if it's gonna work or if it's not gonna work, but you need to design it in a way that makes you successful. So I would go back, kind of think about it a little bit more systematically and just baby steps. It's your first business. You don't need to rush anything. So, next question. Jonah Glasgow. If you woke up and were at $0, what would you do to get back to where you were or even better?
I mean, what's the scenario? Do we still have mentality?
Scenario is you wake up, you have nothing. You lost everything. Do you start all over again or do you become a farmer?
I'd get a job. Start reinvesting in new businesses.
So that's something I guess we didn't really touch on, but when you're starting off these businesses, you need, I guess we'll do a separate podcast or a separate episode where we talk about like actual actionable plans, how to go about things. But realistically, like, yeah, we would just, you got to keep going, man, no matter what they throw at you. I mean, I was going to die in the hospital and I told them, fuck off. I'm not dying. I got a skill mentality.